fathers, fitted to sustain the weight of armor, or to practice the exercises of the camp. The variety of climates and the hardships of military life would soon oppress a feeble constitution which subsists only by the most tender management. My exhausted strength scarcely enables me to discharge the duty of a senator. How insufficient would it prove to the arduous labors of war and government? Can you hope that the legions will respect a weak old man, whose days have been spent in the shade of peace and retirement? Can you desire that I should ever find reason to regret the favorable opinion of the Senate? The reluctance of Tacitus, and it might possibly be sincere, was encountered by the affectionate obstinacy of the Senate. The administration of Tacitus was not unworthy of his life and principles. A grateful servant of the Senate, he considered that national council as the author and himself as the subject of the laws. He studied to heal the wounds which imperial pride, civil discord, and military violence had inflicted on the constitution, and to restore at least the image of the ancient republic as it had been preserved by the policy of Augustus and the virtues of Trajan and the Antonines. The glory and life of Tacitus were of short duration. Transported in the depth of winter from the soft retirement of Campania to the foot of Mount Caucasus, he sunk under the unaccustomed hardships of a military life. The fatigues of the body were aggravated by the cares of the mind. For a while, the angry and selfish passions of the soldiers had been suspended by the enthusiasm of public virtue. They soon broke out with redoubled violence and raged in the camp and even in the tent of the aged emperor. His mild and amiable character served only to inspire contempt, and he was incessantly tormented with factions which he could not assuage and by demands which it was impossible to satisfy. Whatever flattering expectations he had conceived of reconciling the public disorders, Tacitus soon was convinced that the licentiousness of the army disdained the feeble restraint of laws, and his last hour was hastened by anguish and disappointment. It may be doubtful whether the soldiers imbrued their hands in the blood of this innocent prince. It is certain that their insolence was the cause of his death. He expired at Tiana in Cappadocia after a reign of only 6 months and about 20 days.
Tacitus died in AD 276, to be briefly succeeded by his brother Florianus. Probus, general of the East, overthrew Florianus without much difficulty. When he came to the throne, the soldier Probus was aged 44. His six-year reign, between AD 276 and AD 282, was occupied by defending the empire against the ever-rebellious barbarians of East and West. Gibbon writes that the most important service which Probus rendered to the public was the deliverance of Gaul and the recovery of 70 flourishing cities oppressed by the barbarians of Germany, who, since the death of Aurelian, had ravaged that great province with impunity.
The deliverance of Gaul is reported to have cost the lives of 400,000 of the invaders, a work of labor to the Romans and of expense to the emperor, who gave a piece of gold for the head of every barbarian. But as the fame of warriors is built on the destruction of humankind, we may naturally suspect that the sanguinary account was multiplied by the avarice of the soldiers and accepted, without any very severe examination, by the liberal vanity of Probus. Among the useful conditions of peace imposed by Probus on the vanquished nations of Germany was the obligation of supplying the Roman army with 16,000 recruits, the bravest and most robust of their youth. The emperor dispersed them through all the provinces and distributed this dangerous reinforcement in small bands of 50 or 60 each among the national troops, judiciously observing that the aid which the Republic derived from the barbarians should be felt but not seen. Their aid was now become necessary. The feeble elegance of Italy and the internal provinces could no longer support the weight of arms. The hardy frontier of the Rhine and Danube still produced minds and bodies equal to the labors of the camp. But a perpetual series of wars had gradually diminished their numbers. The infrequency of marriage and the ruin of agriculture affected the principles of population and not only destroyed the strength of the present, but intercepted the hope of future generations. The wisdom of Probus embraced a great and beneficial plan of replenishing the exhausted frontiers by new colonies of captive or fugitive barbarians.